Accession number 27071, Reel 5.
Dennis Till, Reel 5. So, can you tell me, when you got the DSC, how did you learn about this, first of all? Did it, you know, what was...
I had a telegram from my mother. I was in Hasler Hospital at the time, and I had a telegram from mother because it was in the local paper, the Express and Echo in Exeter. They said they'd gone to her for a photograph of me, you know, and of course that happened with local papers everywhere. Mm.
So you didn't know about it?
No, I didn't know anything at all.
Were you surprised?
I was astonished that I didn't think. I mean, all I did was lose my craft, didn't I? And the other one, I learned subsequently, the other chap from the 20th flotilla, he lost his craft. Mm. And he got a DSC and I got one.
But it was brave to go in under those
circumstances. Well, you would... I don't think that's the word. You didn't have any option. You just did what you were ordered to do. There wasn't any... and I was... asleep in my cabin, actually, when the craft was mined and sunk. I mean, the old Connett, who was conning the ship at the time, the craft at the time, probably he was more deserving than I, but that's the way it works out, you know.
Did you want to stay on the craft? Because he could have put you off with the other injured people, could he? Or did you elect...
Well, I think I was sleeping. I was asleep in the cabin, and they thought they'd leave me on a good... I don't think my injuries were life-threatening, you know. I mean, I had shrapnel in my eye. That was the worst thing, you know. But
so when you were discharged, it was quite sudden, as it were, when it came. What had you planned to do when you got released?
I was at Royal Arthur, and I went to Wembley to be hand my gear in and to get Civvy Street stuff, you know. And then I went down to Leon C to Jones Home.
Had you any plans for a job?
Oh, yes, that's the point. Mm. A great friend of mine, the father of a friend of mine in Exeter, was a surveyor and chief public health inspector, or sanitary inspector, they called them then, to St Thomas Rural District Council, which is a big rural area surrounding Exeter. And it was he who suggested, because I hadn't a clue what I wanted to do, it was he who suggested that. And he got in touch with the Royal Sanitary Institute in London to find out about courses. And of course, there were ex-servicemen. There were courses for ex-servicemen for all sorts of things. And they paid your fees, you know. And also, they paid for your subsistence as well, you know, and travelling and that sort of thing. And he got me on one of those courses. Mm. I was greatly indebted to him, you know.
What about when you left the Navy? Did they ask you what you were going to do, or whether you wanted any training, or...?
No, they just said goodbye. Right. They would have done, had I not got these plans in hand, probably, right. Yeah. But I mean, I was able to tell them that while I was still in the Navy, I filled in application forms and got it all buttoned up, subject to when I was discharged, you see.
So you then went off and you did your training and all the rest
of it? Yeah, I trained in London, and I travelled up on the train from Leon C to Fenchurch Street and cycled across London to the Hammersmith School of Building. And
how quickly did you settle down to a routine of not being in the Navy? Because it was quite... I mean, that was an all-consuming life, wasn't it? And civilian life's very different.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I was so wrapped up in Joan, you know, that it didn't, and nearly all the people on the course were ex-service anyway. You know, there was, well, they were all ex-service. There was a couple of ATSs, no, not ATS, WAFs on the course as well, which surprised me. I didn't think of ladies training for that particular job, but of course they're everywhere now, aren't they? You know, nowadays.
Did you have any sort of flashbacks or nightmares about your service, about any incidents?
No, I don't think so. I have some regrets that I didn't do something that I could have done, and one thing or another, but
that was something you thought about, was it?
Afterwards, yeah, sometimes, yeah. Mm.
What about
people? Well, most of the time I was so thankful, you know, that I survived, and that Joan said yes.
So were those thoughts about people who'd been injured or died or...?
No, not so much them, because I weren't that close to those people, you know. I hardly knew some of them, you know. No, I don't think so. It was just that remembering friends and school friends mostly. Because I used to get my school magazine for a long time, and they had a list of people who'd gone for a Burton there, you know, and some of them were been quite close friends. And
were you surprised that you'd become a naval officer?
Don't think so, because I went in as I said earlier as a Y entry. And Y entry meant that you were officer material, but because I got sidetracked into DEMS, you know, if I hadn't spoken up, I would have carried on in DEMS, presumably.
Do you wish you hadn't gone into DEMS? Do you wish you'd gone?
I'd rather I'd gone into a proper ship, a naval vessel, yes. And but nevertheless, it was a royal cruise at Her Majesty, His Majesty's expense, and we had our accommodation and food was rather superior, you know. To
that helps.
Yeah.
What do you think you learnt? I mean, you went in as an 18-year-old and you came out what as a 22-year-old, 23.
Yeah, 20.
I mean, it's a big growing up time.
22.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was 22 when I came out. And
what have you learnt from your service, do you think?
Well, self-reliance, I suppose, and because we can cope. I mean, the Navy, well, in fact, the other services as well. You, whatever comes your way, you can cope with, you know, and. And of course, the fellowship there, the comradeship, is all important, you know. And there's a saying, the Navy looks after itself, and it's true, you know. It's I'm very much involved still with the Landing Craft Association and the Royal Naval Association. In fact, I'm off to a reunion in Blackpool in the middle of May. and the D-Day things as well, you know. But that's I don't think so. I feel sad for school friends, really, you know, that didn't make it. And quite fun, oddly, you bump into people that you were in the service with, and you bump into the most extraordinary places.
Yes, yeah.
And you know, you have a good old natter, and it's the chap who took over from me on 1094 as where I was number one. I just saw him for a couple of hours. I bumped into him. I was stood at the corner of the main street in Leon C waiting for Joan, and with my pushchair with the little daughter in it. And a bloke was stood there with another pushchair, and blow me, it was him.
Yeah.
Chap called Hunt.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and we kept in touch ever since. He used to visit us here.
Yeah.
And his wife, you know, she was in the WAF. And,
Yeah. Just going back to Volkeren, those Marines that you took across, what did you think of them at the time? Did they look outstanding in any way? Or they had a reputation, the Marines, didn't they? Marine commandos.
Well, they were really tough and self-reliant, you know, they were so confident as well. You know, they didn't, you know, this was just another job to them, sort of style. That,
what weapons did they have? I mean, they were...
What did they have?
Yes, did they have vehicles with them? I mean, they were...
Oh, yeah, they had... what they call weasels, and what was the other thing? Illustrate some here.
Yeah.
Buffaloes.
Oh yes.
Buffaloes and weasels, which are amphibious, but it needed to be because we'd bombed the island so much, we'd broken all the dikes and flooded the island. It was only the centre of the island that was sort of clear of the water, more or less, and.
Did you get any idea from them as to what they were going to actually do when they got there?
No, there wasn't any. No, they didn't talk about anything like that. They just, well, I imagine they were apprehensive. As I mean, it'd be stupid not to be. But I mean, from our point of view, our job was to get them ashore, clear off as quick as we could, And had we not hit that mine, you know, but there's a, we would have got back safely to Ostend,
yes,
no doubt.
Yeah. And what about the treatment you got in the hospitals? Was it all British medical
personnel? Yeah. It was an army hospital, and the nurses, and well, they didn't call them nurses; they were sisters. They were all sisters. And they were a jolly lot, you know, and the bright remarks flying around and repartee amongst the. I remember there was one bewhiskered. He was a skipper of an LCG because the LCGs and LCFs suffered dreadfully, and that. And he was a proper old nitty whiskers, you know, as we would call. And he used to give the nurses hell. Once he got mobile, he didn't care what he did or what he said, and he used to chase them up the wall.
Better than physiotherapy, isn't it?
And he was quite senior too. I think he was a R&R commander or lieutenant commander or commander, I think, you know.
Do you remember his name?
No, I can't remember a name.
So I suppose news of operations would filter through to you if you were, you know, had been in them yourself from lots of sources over quite a long period as to what happened. And
not really.
No,
not really.
Yeah.
'Cause a lot of the landing craft activity went on in the Med before I became involved. You know, I was drafted there just before D-Day, really, you know, and trained.
Yeah. Excellent. Any others? Sorry. Carry on.
All right.
I was going to say, any other incidents or personalities that you want to add? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's been very interesting.
There's, well, my most recent memories were of the boat's crew, Renz, and courting Joan and one thing and another. And because we had a lovely time there. We were there, held back as a strike force should we be needed. And we had to do was to swing on the buoy, go ashore, go to dances, go for country walks, and had a lovely time. It really
good way
did.
To end the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey?
Good way to end your war.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. Mind you, and then always the threat of the Japanese war, and because of our because we were amphibious, and that was always in the back of our mind. And
was there a genuine fear of the Japanese people in particular, the Japanese soldiers, their reputation, was it all?
No, I don't think so, because we didn't really know much about it. It was only afterwards that we learned of the atrocities. I mean, I've got a book there, HMS Exeter, mm-hmm. No Surrender, and they had a terrible time, the Japanese, you know, because the Exeter was sunk. Mm-hmm. And of course, I remember when I was a schoolboy, the crew of HMS Exeter marching from St David's Station up to past Buller statue and for the freedom of the city, you know. And what was I, about 16, I suppose, then? Because that was the first real episode of the war, wasn't
yes,
it, when
yes.
we sank the Graf's Bay?
That's right, yeah.
Mm.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a fascinating story.
Oh.
Thank you very much indeed for your time. And I'll say Dennis Till, end of Reel 5.